Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions on this weekend. We're hoping you're having a great weekend. And we're praying that God would just speak to your heart, draw you close to Him. And when He does that, He's pouring into you. So maybe we can pour into others as well. And that is missional. Well, this is Bert Harper along with Nathan Harper. We're coming to you today talking about how God has in the past with the Apostle Paul and missions in the past and modern missions, how He uses the people who live in a certain locale to reach people who live in that area. Nathan, common language is important. Common customs are important. And with you, the experience that you've had when you were working with many, many different cultures and languages, it was important to have the understanding of a heart language, of tradition, of what was important. And I think missions recognizes that. So to train those that are ones to minister to those that are have those things in common is important, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's also important to note that every mission endeavor, when the gospel is going into a new field, if you will, there has to be some cross-cultural aspect to that, where someone that's not from the local place, not a part of the local people, that may not even speak the local language as a first language, someone has to come in with that good news and share that. However, if there's going to be a spread, a multiplication of the gospel in that new place, there has to be local people with the local language, with the local customs, doing all that work, doing the spreading, doing the evangelizing, doing the discipling, doing the leading. So therefore, the missionary, when that happens, he can go back or he could go to a new place. You know, we need to have that understanding in our minds. But when we do, we understand the critical nature of indigenous leadership and passing on leadership to local believers. They might be fairly new believers, new brothers and sisters who they might not come from generations of Christian family and background. They might be someone who has just fairly recently heard the good news for the first time, but they're following Jesus and they're maturing and they're growing and being discipled. And we want to see those people disciple others and raise up and become leaders in the local church that is being established. And so that's good to understand kind of how that works.
When we understand that and know that, it really increases the discipleship. It was several years ago when you and I were serving on staff together, and we went to a missions meeting away from our home. And we was hearing this missionary talking about the failures. They had examined the failures of the missional projects that they had started, and they identified that it was because they did not train enough of the indigenous people there to carry on the work. But Paul found that early on as he would go from town or city to city, region to region. Again, as you said, they may be new Christians compared to what we think new Christians are now. You know, we think we get them out, we've got to take them through a 13-week study, and then we've got to wait 2 years and see how they go. They didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
They didn't have that kind of time in the Bible, and I don't think you have that much time in the mission field as well today.
Not in a new field where there's a lot of unreached people. That's true. Urgency is the name of the game. Speaking of Paul and how he would raise up leaders from different locations where he would visit and serve and minister. I found a passage in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, actually. Several men were traveling with Paul. They were Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy, and we know Timothy is from Lystra, and then Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. So you have all these leaders, fairly new believers, you know, not many years they were following Jesus, but they were with Paul serving. He had raised them up in their local places, and God was sending them out as they were actually cross-cultural workers. But every place they would go, there would be established a local set of leaders. The Bible talks about elders, and that's what we are referring to.
When I see that, and I see all these names, again, accompanying him, Paul just gathered men around him. Now, let's go back a little further. What about Jesus? Those 12 men, now, 11 of them were from Galilee, and only Judas Iscariot was from the Judean area. But again, pouring into them, and when he left, he told them, yes, you're going to have the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do great things. So when we're looking at mission work in difficult places, in new places, we call it frontier missions. It's use of that one person, but it can expand into more. But your whole idea is reaching those. And that's not just true in those areas. It may be true in our area here in America. It may be a neighborhood. It could be a suburb area, a street. But trying to share the gospel and disciple others so they can share it, it goes back to what Paul told Timothy, I taught you that you could teach men, that those men would teach others. So it is to be passed on, isn't it, Nathan?
Absolutely. It's multiplication of leadership. It's the crucial aspect of seeing the gospel multiply and advance all over the world.
So in this interview today, you're not only going to hear concerning what God has done in the area of Asia, but you're going to hear about doing training that they could share with others about the good news of Jesus Christ. So we hope that this will encourage you to be a part of missions close to your home, be ready to go on mission somewhere with a group to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we could train others to become all that God has purposed them to be. And again, enjoy this interview to see what God is doing on the other side of our globe. Today on Exploring Missions, we have a special guest, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about what God is doing in a country, but also what the vision is for that country. Today, our guest is Jabez Ambrosia, and he is from the Philippines.
Yes, sir.
And welcome, Jabez.
Thank you so much. I'm so thankful for the invitation here, and I'm excited to join you all for today's interview.
Well, it's good to have you. Your wife, Danielle, and your daughter, Hope, are waiting in another room, but they are special people as well, and we appreciate you coming. And you're here in the States getting ready to go back to the Philippines. Is
yes,
that
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you're with the Independent Baptist Missions for Asians.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about that, and it's a ministry that's been going on for a few years. Tell
us, sir,
a little bit about the history of this ministry.
Well, it started with the desire of my grandfather's brother-in-law with the name of Manny Quezon, where he found out that the most advantageous way of reaching a country is through the nationals, and not putting down other missionaries, but it's just that usually whenever missionaries would be going to a different country that they don't know of, it takes a while for them to get accustomed, not only with the culture, but also with the language and with the food. But if you would have, or if you would train some national already that is there, the moment that they start their work, they could hit the ground running. They already know it. And so it started with just his heart. But as he continues to pray for it, the Lord has led him to coming here in the States. That is actually what he started on doing, just telling people that, oh, the best way to reach out to the Philippines, because he is Filipino, is through the nationals, because we speak 120 languages. And so it takes a whole lot for someone to be a missionary there. And we have so much custom and traditions. And so he just kept telling those to other people. And then one pastor up in Marietta, Ohio, with the name of Dr. Myron Giler, he went hand in hand with Brother Manichaeson in establishing independent fundamental Baptist missions for Asians. And it's our scope is not just the Philippines exactly, but all neighboring countries. And our main goal is to send out missionaries from there, train nationals, and those nationals would continue to train more nationals so that they could reach out their country to the Lord.
You mentioned the other countries around it. That would be Cambodia, Thailand, Papua New Guinea, and Singapore.
Yes, sir.
So there's missionaries there as well.
Yes, sir.
Again, national missionaries.
Yes, sir.
So it's not Filipinos going to Singapore and Singapore going, but it's people there reaching their own people.
Well, it is both. Like, for example, now we are trying to open a ministry in Japan, but since we could not find anyone yet, especially Japan is a very hard country to reach out.
Yes.
So right now we do have a couple of Filipino missionaries that are reaching out over there. And it has been quite a challenge, but slowly the Lord is working over there. And so now we do have some Filipino missionaries, but we are praying that God would appoint a national. So they only have like a few people that they are really in-depth teaching regarding the Word of God. And we are praying that God would call them in that ministry. And so that in the span of 3 to 5 years, our other missionaries could get out. And now they have a national that would be planted over there, and they would take over and they would just run with the gospel and give it to their people.
Well, let me see. I think that is as old as the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul would go into a city, then he would train them, but he'd usually have Timothy, Titus, somebody with him. Mm-hmm. But then they would train and leave elders that they had trained there in that city. Mm-hmm. So it's the way that missions should be done, and it is great. Well, let me ask you, you was talking about the languages. Mm-hmm. How about the islands? From one to the other, it's not like the United States. Okay, I want to go from New York to California. I could do it by land or by air or by train, really. But the Philippines, how many islands?
We have more than 7,600 islands.
7,600.
Yes, sir. But 2,000 of those are really inhabited.
Okay.
With, like a system or really just a government. Might not be as big, but working.
But still, 2,000 islands that people live on and trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at, transportation, air, boat, land. You have to have all of them there, right?
Yes, sir.
We were talking earlier about a friend of ours that's going to be there in March, and you're going to join him from the island you're on to his island, so you got to fly and boat, so it's a combination of those things.
Yes, sir.
That's the Philippines. Well, tell us about your ministry, where you are, and you're going back to the island that you'll be on, and the ministry that you'll be involved in, JBS?
Yes, sir. Well, we are located in La Paz, Tarlac. That is in the most northern part of the Philippines. We are in the Central Plain, so we are about 4 to 5 hours from Manila, north of Manila. And our people are mostly farmers. Where we're at in La Paz, we are reaching about 6,000 to 8,000 people, 21 villages. And what we are trying to do is, we would plant, our heart's desire is plant one village or one church building per village.
Okay.
And by God's grace, he has helped us throughout the way. Without him, we cannot do what we are doing right now. And I am going to be helping with my father when I head back, because one of the villages that we are trying to reach over there in Dumarais, specifically, we have 7 different cults and denominations over there where it is just, the devil really has his hands wrapped around that village. So much cult and cult rituals going on. But by God's grace, we have been able to win about 35 souls there.
Okay.
And right now we do meet in houses. And how we do our ministry is we would go out, do soul winning. And if the Lord would bless our labor, if he would give us some fruits, we would then start doing our Bible studies and then midweek services. And then if the Lord would bless us more after that, we would pray to purchase a lot and plant a village church there. That is how we have done through planting 12 in that village already. So we are still praying for 9 other villages for us to plant a church building. And so that's just usually how we do it. We go, we win, we labor for the Lord. If he would give us some fruits, we would start holding services, Bible studies, then pray for a lot. And then from there, ask God that he would provide for us to build a church there.
Okay. Hospitality, a lot of times, going soul winning here in America sometimes can be very difficult simply because people do not invite people into their home. A lot of times, as far as it goes, you meet them at the door and don't get any further. Is the hospitality there in the Philippines, is it kind of open if you knock on the door and you tell them who you are, that they'll listen?
For the most part, I believe so. They believe that the Philippines is a Christian country, but I beg to disagree. We are not a Christian country. We are a religious country.
Yeah. Well, because, that's so true with so many.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, because I believe being religious and being Christian are two different things. But there in the Philippines, if you, you know, you say that you just wanted to talk about God, for the most part, people are very receptive toward this, toward that, mostly because they are just respectful and hospitable, as you say. But there are some few cases, just it depends on where you're at in the Philippines, where they won't receive you as much. Like where we're at, our main problems or our main oppositions are Catholics, where we call them Sagradong Katoliko. These are the people that are very dogmatic in what they believe in. And so if you would tell them something that goes against what their priest says, they would be very hostile towards you. Yeah. I remember one time I was in I don't know how to explain this, but just in a community that all of them are family, and they are Sagradong Katoliko. So in those type of areas, if we would just go to them and, you know, tell them that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by him, you don't have to pray to Mary for you to talk to God. Because of Jesus, you have that direct access to come before the throne of grace and pray to God directly. See, when you mention all of those things, it goes against what they believe in, and they would be very hostile towards you. And just in our area specifically, I know in my wife's area, communism and Islam is pretty big in Zambales. So there now, that's another different approach that you gotta do. But in general, if you go to the Philippines and you just tell them, oh, I want to talk about God. Do you know of God? They would say yes. Do you know of Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? They would say yes. But apart from that, they do not want to know more.
The book of Acts is like that. If you look when they were going to the Jewish culture, they already believed that there was a God. They even believed that Messiah would come. Now, they were, like you say, religious and everything. Mm-hmm. But then when Paul went into the more Gentile world, closer and closer to Rome, like into Athens, they worshiped many gods. Mm-hmm. Now, which God do you want us to worship? And he would point it out. So when you get back to it, there's really nothing new under the sun. And we can look at the book of Acts and see mission strategies that still work today.
Yes, sir.
And so you do have to understand who you're trying to reach and bring the gospel to them. In a way, you don't water the gospel down, but you present it in a way that it's approachable to them,
yes, sir.
They hear and listen. The Holy Spirit will do his work, won't he?
Amen.
Every time. Well, I know you have gone over the soul winning and church planting, and I understand that Project Nehemiah is part of the church plant. After you get 35 people that are saved, and you get a piece of land, and then you try to put a building on that land. Is that part of the Nehemiah project? Is that the way it works?
How our Nehemiah project goes is that it's a project that really focuses on planting local churches, especially for those that do not have missionaries like myself. Because for us, when you are a missionary and you are able to go to different countries and raise your support, raise some funds, and then go back to plant your village, a lot of our local pastors are not able to do that. So what Project Nehemiah does is that in our mission board, those missionaries like myself, a certain amount of our support is being put into Project Nehemiah so that those local pastors that we have that already has the people and already has a lot going on in their church and yet still do not have a church building, the contributed amount of our of a certain percentage of our support is put together, And then that is what we would be using in planting a village church for our local church pastors.
That is great. Who we're talking to is Jabez Ambrosia, and he's with the Independent Baptist Missions for Asia. And the website, if you want to know more about it, and I've been on the website looking at it and trying to get my mind on what all they do, and it's a great ministry, is IBMA for Asians, IBMAforAsians.org. And specifically, that'll bring you there, but you can do /missions and see specifically all that they're doing. And one of the areas that I really wanted to talk about again is the training of the nationals. After you go into a village and say there's 35 people and you are looking at the missionary, when one of those people feel called to be a teacher or pastor, and then you train them, what's the education process when that happens, JBS?
For us, since by God's grace, I came up from a church that has already been established and doing this ministry for quite some time now. One of the things that we are doing is that it might not be from specific area. Like, for example, if you're going to be in La Paz, we already have a church right in the middle, in the main village. And from there, the Lord has given us a lot of people already and a lot of people that surrendered their life to the Lord. If we're going to start a ministry outside of that, sometimes we already have some people that have surrendered their life to the Lord, and we would just help them. So when we would start another ministry from a different area, they would go with us. They get firsthand experience on what the ministry is like. And if the Lord would call them for them to pastor in that village, that's what we would do. And now there are some cases that we don't have anyone like that, and then we would just go to different places, and then God would call someone from there. But until God calls someone else, we are the one that is laboring on and standing firm in that area. And so what we do is, whenever we are training them, firstly, we would want to be sure that they are saved. I mean, it is just them and the Lord that can really know for sure, but I believe the fruits of their salvation would be evident for anyone to see. And so we are looking for those fruits, and we are looking for their willingness in the ministry. And then after that, we would just go through our, what we call a discipleship process. Okay. A lot of times what we use in our discipleship process is this book of Paul Chappell at Lancaster in California called Continue. It's really helpful not only for those who just got saved and wanted to start knowing the Bible and the ministry, but also for those that already knows it, but it is a good refresher.
Right.
Sometimes we would just go through this book little by little. And then also, as I've mentioned, we do bring them to our mission field. And so not only they are getting the training in the scriptures, but also they are being trained in a practical sense of, you know, seeing what it is like. Because I know a lot of missionaries, or they were missionaries, that they went to Bible college and they enjoyed it. They loved everything that they were taught. But when they get to the mission field, they won't even last for 3 years because it's so much different.
Right.
So for us, our heart's desire is not only for them to know more about the scriptures, but for them to really know more on the first-hand experience, like dealing with people, seeing where they're living, their culture, the way things are for them, and for our people or our youth or people that would surrender their life to the Lord, for them to really just develop the love for them, for our people, and for the ministry.
Amen. I noticed the different things of missions, disasters. With the Philippines, where they're located, and that many islands, disasters can happen quite often.
Yes, sir.
And you guys are making a difference there as well?
Yes, sir. Actually, when I was growing up, see, our church in the Philippines, there, the land is very expensive. So our main building, we have a small area, but we build up. So with that, it helps a lot, because to where we're at, we get flooded so often. And when I was young, what my father would do is, because our church is right on the third floor, is that he would just open it for other people And then so that those who do not have any evacuation centers, especially our evacuation centers, are so jam-packed and a lot of people are not being tended to. So we open our church for that. But the sad problem and just the reality is that after opening our church for that, when the flood already subsided, a lot of the things in our church are going missing. So what we just do is we don't do that anymore. But what we try to do is we would buy some relief goods, some canned goods, some rice, and other essentials, and then we give those away. But that is specifically from where I'm at.
We're talking again to Jabez Ambrosia, and he is from the Philippines, and he's headed back that way. And people want to keep up with your ministry. They can do that a little bit, can't
yes,
they?
Sir.
How would they do that, Jabez?
Well, they could. I do have some Facebook, which that is still the biggest social platform in the Philippines. So everyone has Facebook, but they could reach me in my Yahoo account or Yahoo mail. It's jabez.ambrosio@yahoo.com. And if they would want to receive like our monthly or quarterly reports on our ministry, they could reach out to me there as well, and we can put them on our report list so that they could stay updated on what the Lord is doing when we head back.
Okay. Now I'm going to realize Jabez, I can spell J-A-B-E-Z. How about that last name now? Everybody that's listening, get your pen ready, pencil ready, and spell it for us.
All right. It's Ambrosio, A-M-B, as in boy, R-O-C-I-O.
Okay. We're looking forward to hearing about what all God has done for you and using you. And again, if you want to find out about their mission, it's IBMAforAsians.org, and you can find out a lot about their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Jabez, we're going to be praying for you and asking God to give you safe travels, and then after you get there, bringing fruit to your labor.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Any specific thing that else that we can pray for you about?
I always tell people to pray for us, for our family and ministry, and really to the people that we come across with. And it's not something that we would want for people to do when we get back. But as soon as they realize that our people needs the Lord, I would want for them to pray for their salvation. What we want is that even before we head back, we already have some people praying for our people there, so that when we head back, hearts are already bathed in the prayer of God's saints. So when we get there, they're ready to be planted with the seed of the gospel.
Well, amen. I hope you got that listening, and that Jabez will be on your prayer list. And I'm going to go with the prayer of Jabez that God would expand your territory.
Amen.
And let God just use you in a great way.
Amen.
Thank you for being with us. And thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And again, may you stay on mission for God.